Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri. My goal is to help military members find, identify, pursue, and obtain their ideal post-service career. If you're listening to this, you've arrived at Behind Beyond the Uniform. This is on our informal Saturday chats. Normally on Monday and Thursday, I meet with members of the armed forces in their civilian career. They talk about what they do, what their job is, whether it's banking, whether it's professional sports, whether it's photography, a whole host of different career paths. They talk about what they do, how they got there, and advice for others seeking to do the same. The episode format for Saturdays is much more casual. I like to call it our mullet format, where we have business up front, where we talk about some professional items that may benefit our listeners, and then some personal items in the back where, if you'd like to stick around, a little bit more about life in general. So we've got a couple different items today on the professional front and trying some new things and open to feedback on that. First of all, though, I'll get into this more in the personal section, but I've been having a tremendous number of conversations with some of the best organizations in the world. These are companies that literally have a whole team set aside to hire military veterans. And it's been a real reminder for me of how desirable you all are as applicants. I know many times on our show, guests talk about the difficulty they face in their transition to a civilian career and the challenges they face finding that first job. And there are a lot of disconnects. It's one of the reasons Beyond the Uniform exists. We're trying to solve that problem, or at least make it better. But I did want to just share, I just got off the phone with a Fortune 500 company, and I'm pulling up a quote that I wrote down. She said, this is a paraphrase, but I tried to write down as she was talking. She said, "We recognize that the military invests so much money and time into training soldiers and sailors, and they leave this military with the valuable skill set. And a lot of us know that vets have had a difficult time finding employment. We're trying to find these people." And so it is a frustration on both the veteran side and the hiring side, where there is a lot of noise out there. It's very often difficult to pierce through and for hiring managers to find the right candidates and for members of the military to find the right job. But know that the intention is out there. People want to find you. They want to hire you. There may be some speed bumps along the way, but it's one of the things we're really focusing on is how to try and smooth that out as much as possible. Second thing that I wanted to share with you is there are a lot of exciting expansions happening as we speak at Beyond the Uniform. Keep an eye out. There's many things in the works. The one most likely to hit you soonest is some events. We're planning a couple webinars. All of these are free. One of them that we're thinking about is around networking and sales outreach and how to get a meeting with anyone. One of them we're thinking about is an overview of the consulting industry. That's easiest for us to start. I actually wrote a book on that topic after doing some data research about the topic. And based on the reception, we want to start going down for entrepreneurship, for technology, for banking, for every career path, doing a deeper dive. And we've also got one lined up that I'm calling right now. The title may change, but just calling them a town hall meeting. The intention is to literally get together by video and have conversations, answer questions for you, have a little bit more face-to-face, though albeit virtually, face-to-face interaction rather than the one-way format for the podcast, which of course we'll continue to do, but we'd love to complement that by fostering more of a community through a town hall setting. So keep an eye out for that in our newsletter. You may see it popping up on the website soon, but wanted to give you a first look at that. And then to try something new, I do get a lot of email inquiries, different things, and I really want to do my best to respond. I realize that it's often not scalable for me to do so, and I often drop the ball. And so in an attempt to not drop the ball, I wanted to try something new, which is taking a few of the emails I've gotten this week that I think are actually applicable to representative of many others. And my hope was just to answer those emails right here on the show, and in doing so, maybe answer additional people's questions. And so I didn't get permission from the person, from either of these people, so I won't use their last name. But the first one was Janelle. First of all, Janelle, thank you for submitting more companies to our Director of Resources for our website. And I just wanted to respond to two of the things that Janelle had mentioned at the end of her email. So let me just pull that up here. So Janelle had said, and a personal question for you, is Beyond the Uniform your actual, quote, day job? Or is Beyond the Uniform a volunteer side gig and you have another endeavor that actually pays the bills? That was the first question. And to answer that, this is a side gig for me. Most of my time is spent running a tech company called Storybox, as well as doing consulting, independent consulting work. And I am working to have Beyond the Uniform be more than just a side gig. We'll talk about that a little bit more in the personal section. But for now, it is a volunteer endeavor. I'm fortunate to have five great people helping me out. All of us are doing this on nights and weekends and lunch breaks, no pay or anything like that. And that's the way it is right now. And I actually have an intention to change that. And we'll share more of that about that in a second. Janelle went on to say, I'd really love to find a way to make connecting the dots my full-time job, not in a recruiting sense, but in an event promotion, mentor connection, getting like-minded people from stovepiped organizations networks to branch out and interact intergenerationally. But I'm only in the very early stages of figuring out how I design my own enterprise or nonprofit organization to make that a reality. Janelle, the two things that I'd share with you is, first of all, I think that is awesome. I love your self-awareness and understanding that that is a direction you want to take in your life, that that's a skill set that you have, that that's something that energizes you. And so my hat's off to you, first of all, in having that awareness and having discovered that. In the 300 interviews I've done, it's very rare for people to have that sort of insight. Usually there's a lot more flailing might be too powerful of a word, but a lot more wandering to identify that. And it sounds like you're well on your way to understanding what would make you fulfilled. The second piece of my advice, I'll give some context on. The first is a book that I love. It's by Elizabeth Gilbert. It's called Big Magic, The Art of Creative Living. Elizabeth Gilbert wrote a book called Eat, Pray, Love, which I did not read, but she has been a very successful writer, and I loved her book on creativity. And she talks about, for aspiring writers, she says she always cringes when someone says they're going to quit their day job to become a full-time writer. And I think that that is a position that's applauded right now in society. Like, yeah, you're taking a bet on yourself, you're burning the bridges, you're diving in. Elizabeth's advice is, don't put so much pressure on inspiration. Not only does this thing of writing need to be your passion and what lights you up in the world, but it also has to pay the bills. That's a tremendous amount of pressure to put on oneself, and often it stifles creativity necessary to make a venture grow. Second example is the men's work that I do is with a gentleman named John Wineland. I really respect him as a teacher and just someone who's living in alignment with their values. John has shared with me about and with our group about how he always wanted to do this work for his career, but it took him 10 years to be able to make that happen. And that was 10 years when he was learning, he was working with his own teacher, he was growing, he was getting things under his feet, and he was doing events on the weekend, on nights, and wherever he could cram it in. But he had to have another job to pay the bills until he was able to jump off and do this full time. And my own opinion is that that's made him a much more effective teacher. He was able to hone his craft and his mastery before being able to build up that base to support himself full time. So Janelle, I'm not implying by any means that in your email you were thinking of doing this haphazardly or jumping off. I'm speaking more to the many other emails I get that are similar in nature and a little bit more explicit about wanting to do that. But I just wanted to give you and listeners advice that I think that, just personal belief, I think that our passion is something we earn. I don't believe the common conventional wisdom that if there's something you want to do, you just go do it and damn the consequences. I think that as mature adults, we oftentimes have obligations to family, to children, to bills to pay. Oftentimes we have expertise that we're wanting to build. I'll put a link in the show notes to an episode I did with author Cal Newport, and he talks about the market is the ultimate test. We all have our passions. We all have our desires. And the market is the objective way of saying, are people willing to pay you to do that? If it's not yet, don't be discouraged. You can build up that skill set. But I just always like to temper, because I think the conventional wisdom is to do it now and to celebrate that. And I just believe that we can earn that passion. You know, if you're not willing to show up at 5 a.m. for an hour before you go to your real job to work on the side project, it's a way to question, like, do you really have the drive to make that happen? But if you're able to show up day in and day out, you wake up early before work, you take your lunch breaks, you work in the evening, you work on weekends, if you're able to continuously do that, not only will you see the impact from that, but I think that the universe rewards people who are putting their actions where their mouth is, rather than just kind of burn the bridges and things will happen. So just my two cents. I know a lot of people may not agree with that, but wanted to share that with you and more broadly with our audience, because I get this sort of question often and wanted to address that in case that benefits multiple people. The next email that I got, I think this is representative to multiple that I've got, is from a gentleman named Cal. He said, first of all, I've really enjoyed your podcast. I found out about it on LinkedIn when you interviewed Coach K, and I later had a friend recommend the episode you did with Brian Rutherford. Excellent content and quality production. Thank you for the excellent work you're doing to assist veterans as they transition from the military. I started a podcast about 2 months ago, and I'd love to pick your brain for ways to make it better. He gives the name of his podcast, the link to it, and a request for some information there. First of all, for listeners, this is an outstanding email. There is a good portion of ass kissing, which I'm a big fan of. I do so much email outreach. I do literally thousands of email outreach every single month. And I always try to do that. I think Cal gave a golden example of it's very clearly not a form email. I get a lot of automated emails. It's very easy to spot those. But this is very clearly someone who's genuine, who's purposeful. And while most of the time I would just kind of delete the message, because I know that someone actually put some thought into it, I'm willing to read it and respond. I do get a lot of questions in this vein. And Cal, for you and for other listeners, in addition to that Cal Newport and the interview in the show notes, I'm going to add a link to an episode I did fairly recently around podcasts. And it's about 45 minutes. It is pretty much the extent of everything I know about podcasts, equipments, why to do it, how to do it, how to do it efficiently. I'd encourage you to check that out. That answers a lot of questions. I will say that I did, Cal, for you, and specifically, I did check out your podcast. You've got over 45 reviews already, which is unreal. I think you've only got 12 episodes. I've got 300 plus episodes and I think 114 reviews. So I'm a little bit jealous that you've got that many reviews already. I think that's a great sign. I did not have a chance to listen to your podcast. I'm actually behind. I've not listened to podcasts for a month now. I'm just swamped with things. So I didn't have a time to listen to your podcast in particular, but I would encourage you to, first of all, include a call to action in your podcast for people to do something like add a review or join your newsletter, start to build that audience. And then whenever you get someone reaching out, try to solicit from them ways in which you can make things better. I'm a big fan of that quote by Henry Ford, in which he said, if I listened to my customers, I would have built a faster horse. I think that's true. I don't think that customers often or audience members have ideas on the right way to improve your content. But I think you might want to listen to what resonates with your audience, what doesn't resonate. Make sure you're listening to other podcasts, seeing what they're doing. And I'm sure that as you continue to create, you'll continue to get better at it. That's all I had on the professional section. As you have questions, send them to me. I'll change up the website to make explicit that I plan to do more of this. So if you're open with me using your name, I'll do that. If not, I'll anonymize it like I did with these ones, just using the first name and not doing anything to identify anything about who you are to keep your privacy. But I think this might be a scalable way for me to value my own time, which I don't have the time to respond to everyone, while at the same time honoring my value of wanting to help as many people as possible. On the personal side, I just wanted to share one quick note around integrity. I've talked about this a lot on previous Behind the Uniform episodes about integrity work, finding ways in which we're out of integrity and actions to correct that. And I had a conversation with Steve Bain along the lines of this recently. I'll just share a little snippet of that. And that is, I realized one area where I was out of integrity, and I think it's very relevant to our audience because I've seen this in many of the 300 episodes that I've done, is that somewhere along the lines with Beyond the Uniform, I cultivated this mindset that it's wrong to make money off of Beyond the Uniform. And I brought a lot of judgment to a lot of great companies in the space who are helping veterans and making money. I'll be specific. I think Breakline Education is a fantastic organization. I had Bethany Coates on the show very early on and have seen them grow. And I noticed that there was this part of me that, below the surface was judging to see her succeeding, was judging to see her team growing, was judging to see her profiting as a company as she helped veterans. And I'm just using her as one example. There's 20 other examples where this niggling judgment came up. But what I found in a lot of personal growth work is that when we have judgments about someone else, it is very, very rarely about that other person. It is most often an indication, it is kind of a telltale giveaway that there's something deeper we need to explore. And so I started to explore that more, and I realized it had nothing to do with Breakline Education or these other organizations. It was more about this core belief that I have, for whatever reason, that it is wrong to do something to help others and benefit in any way. It's a pretty deep-rooted belief that in order to help others, it needed to be 100% selfless and in fact even turning away any benefit, like this martyr mentality of having to suffer in order to do good. And I stepped back with Breakline, and actually it was more recently a conversation I had with the Wounded Warrior Project, where the Wounded Warrior Project has raised hundreds of millions of dollars, and they are deploying that capital in really incredible ways. I'm excited for that interview to air in just a couple weeks. They're deploying that capital to fund hospitals, to help programs. They're like really deploying that money to maximize the impact to help military personnel. And what started to click for me is the more successful an organization is, the more people they're able to help. When I spoke with Bethany at Breakpoint 2 years ago, they had one, a very tiny team in San Francisco, and I'm guessing they were able to help 20 or 30 veterans a year. But because of her success, she does this free for veterans, companies pay her, I'm guessing, for the recruitment effort. Because she's been successful, she's now grown the organization where they have a team in New York, they have a bigger team, they're able to help more veterans. Her success, her financial success as a company, is helping her help more veterans. And I realized that, like, if I'm really serious about having a bigger impact with Beyond the Uniform, I'm doing a disservice to treat this as a hobby. I'm doing this a disservice to treat this as a nights and weekends project. That by holding back on that, I'm actually minimizing my impact on the veteran community. And so that's where a lot of the changes you're seeing are going to be coming from. As you see us trying new things, not all of them will work, a lot of them will fail. But I realize too, that's an advantage of treating this like a business. In my business, Storybox, a software company, we've done a million experiments and a million failures. And it's not a big deal because it's an experiment. That's what businesses do. They test things out, they see what works, and they double down. I found that in treating this as a hobby, a lot of times my ego, for some reason, got wrapped up in that. I would try something, it would fail, and I would give up, and I would take my toys and go home and focus elsewhere. When in fact, if I'm treating this as a business, who cares if it fails? If it fails, that's valuable information. That's information showing me what the market needs, what the community needs. And I'm confident, I am 100% confident in my and my team's ability to deliver. I'm 100% confident in our intention to do good in the world. And I want to quit playing it safe. I want to quit just telling myself that we should stay in the shadows and avoid anything and just kind of toil away on this in secrecy. I think we can have a big impact on the military community. And the way to do that is not playing it safe. The way to do that is not being a martyr. The way, in my view, and you can disagree with this, but it's to treat this as a business. And that means we honor our stakeholders, which is your audience. We honor this as an organization and we deal with it ruthlessly. We don't spend money where it's wasted. We don't do things that don't make sense as a business. We treat this and honor this as a company that wants to do good in the world, that wants to grow and thrive, and knows that the more we succeed, the more we can help other veterans succeed, the more we can broaden our impact. So I wanted to share that with you as listeners, just to be transparent in where I've been out of integrity, as well as what's going on behind the scenes, give you some context for some changes you see coming. And by that, I don't mean any changes to the podcast itself. It's just actually just doing more and doing better. But I also wanted to share that because I know I'm not alone in this. This is where it felt most out of integrity for me, because I realized that on the show, I so often hear guests talk about how they don't want to put themselves out there. They don't want to network. They don't want to reach out to people for help. They don't want to take a bigger role. They don't want to step up. There is, I think, something common in our military background that, you know, because we come from service, it makes us feel, I mean, it doesn't make everyone, makes me feel oftentimes guilty about succeeding, guilty about profiting and growing and being successful. And I'll tell you, most of our civilian counterparts do not have that problem. And that's a competitive advantage for them. And so I knew it was out of integrity for me doing this show where I'm trying to help the military community learn and grow in their civilian career to then embody and personify a trait that I don't want for our listeners. It felt hypocritical for me to be taking this approach and modeling that behavior for our audience when I don't want to do that. So if you disagree with that, that's fine. I would love to hear from you either way. Keep the feedback coming. It means a lot. If you're open to me sharing on the show, let me know. I'll try to do this more next Saturday as well. Cal and Janelle, thank you for writing in. I appreciate your letting me use this on the show. And yeah, I will be back on Monday and Thursday with more episodes of Military Veterans About Their Civilian Career. Take care.